Praise God. It says, old man and new man and abundant life. That's what I'm going to speak about today. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 14th verse. I'm going to look at many little different scriptures. Some of us very familiar with all of these. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Paul's gospel, he wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Paul's gospel teaches us that though when we get born again, when we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the life of Christ comes into us, and we are the Lord's children. We're God the Father's children, and we're born again. That's beautiful, isn't it? And so he is talking here about how we as believers in Christ, how we need to yield our life completely to the Lord. Okay, so we're going to begin reading with verse 14 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. Dear Father, bless this word of God to our hearts today and help us to receive wondrous things from your word. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, meet every need. Hallelujah. So verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That word constraineth there in the Greek, it means holds together or forcibly compressed and compact. So the love of Christ is that way in our lives. Once we know about Jesus and we know the life of how the Lord died for us and he wants us to walk with him and yield to him, praise the Lord. He holds us together. He is like we are compressed into the will of God and into the plan of God. It constrains us to follow the Lord and walk with God. He says, because we thus judge, or this is our opinion. In the original Greek, it says it's an opinion. We have come to know this, that Jesus Christ's love is what holds us together, and we believe that this is true. That if one died for all, then we're all dead. Ephesians 2:1 says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Before we knew the Lord as our Savior, we had no life, no spiritual life. There was not going to be a place for us in heaven. But since we know the Lord is our Savior, praise the Lord, we are going to be there with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus for his beautiful work that he does. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's a little interesting thought there. Do we live for ourselves, or do we live for God? Do we yield to God? Do we walk in his presence? Do we study the word of God? Do we come to church to hear the word of God? See, that's living for God, living for him, being a witness. And so he says, that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Not living for self. Remember that phrase. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. To know someone after the flesh means that we're not recognizing them as a believer in Christ. We're just recognizing them as a person. And that's not what the Lord wants us to do with one another who are born again and who know the Lord as our Savior. We are to love one another as other parts of the body of Christ, or of the church of the living God. He is our Lord, and we all who know him as our Savior are parts of one another. We are what is called an undenominational church. That means we accept all people who know Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful thing to know. If you know Jesus, then you're part of the family. Glory to God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, how do we get in Christ? By believing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We become part of the body of Christ. That's what that means. The body of Christ is the group of people that believe, all who believe in Jesus Christ. One day we'll be living in heaven with him. He is a new creature. When we come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we're new. Something happened in our life. We're born again. We have the life of Christ in us. And it's a new life. And that life is eternal life. It will go on and on and on in us. Praise the name of Jesus. He is a new creature. Now it says creature. In the original, it says creation. He is a new creation. So who is the creator? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're the ones that work in our life when we receive Christ. He comes into our life and we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I hope that's true of everyone here today that knows Jesus. I hope that things are not just the same old thing that it was before you knew Christ, because when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive him as your Savior. You know that God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We read of that in Revelation 20:27, that only those that are written in that Lamb's Book of Life are saved eternally, saved believers in Christ. And it's wonderful, isn't it, to know Jesus, to come into his presence and know him. Hallelujah. God is so good. So we have old man, new man. Old man is how we were before we knew Jesus. And we still have that old nature. Too bad, you know, we do. But victory in Christ is walking with God and yielding to Christ and letting that new life of Christ that we have be dominant in our lives. We follow Christ. We walk with Christ. We witness of Christ. We love him. We show our love for Christ and love for others. Praise the Lord. The Lord wrote our name in his book. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. God calls us his children. We're his children. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're born again. We were born in the natural, but praise the Lord, then we are born in the spiritual, and it's so real. It's so real. Glory to God. Now, Jesus said this in John, the 10th chapter, verse 10. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. That's why I have the word abundant life up there. We have abundant life. It's not just a little tiny bit. It is full. It is wondrous. It's a glorious life when we know Jesus as our Savior and walk with him. And I love the meaning of this word. In the scripture, it's used, I'm going to just read these to you because it's several times. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might redound, and that word means to superabound, to the glory of God. Praise the Lord. For all things are for our sake. Everything that takes place in our life, we've all had many trials in life. We've lost loved ones. We have different problems. But those things are all for our sake, that we might have abundant grace to superabound. And then Philippians 1:26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. And so this word abundantly means to superabound in quantity, in quality, beyond measure, to be superfluous. You know what that word, superfluous, is something that's just too much, a whole bunch of stuff. In the Amplified Version, it says here, full till it overflows. So what kind of salvation did the Lord Jesus provide for us? He provided a salvation and a beautiful, beautiful life of being abundant in our life, superabounding, overcoming, yielding our lives to God. And there are going to be great rewards in heaven. The scripture says that for us, all of us who yield our lives to God, we are going to have great rewards. 1 Timothy 1:14 says, "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ." God doesn't just bless us a little bit. He blesses us a whole lot, more than we even deserve. He is always there blessing us and giving us abundance. Glory to God. Let's look in the book of John. Jesus speaking here in the book of John in the 3rd chapter. Remember that this is where this rich man who was one of the councils of the Jews, he came to Jesus by night because he didn't want the people to notice he was coming to Jesus. And so this 3rd chapter, this is Jesus speaking to him when he comes and asks some questions of Jesus there. His name was Nicodemus. Praise God. Later, he helped to bury the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So let's begin reading with verse 5. Jesus is answering him. "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again." Now, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I just named a few things. We now have Christ in us. We're talking about obedience to Christ. We learn to walk with God, yield to him, let him govern us, let him speak to our minds and our hearts about what he wants in our life. We don't just make decisions, you know, it's okay, I'm going to do so and so. We trust in God. We pray that the Lord will help us to know his will. And so when we believe in Christ as our Savior, then notice another thing. We have the life of Christ in us. Christ, we've been born again. Christ lives in us, is what the scripture says. He lives in us. And so as we yield to him, he is manifested through our earthly body, right through our earthly body. We love other people. A lot of times people have a really hard time putting up with other people. God wants us to love all people, love everyone, love every child of God. Even if there's been hurts or pains, we are to love one another because Christ has loved us. And we are in God, in Christ's estimation, in what the Word of God says, we are a new creation. Now, I still have my old body. Don't you? Yeah, we do. I see you there. But now we have a new life. We have a new creation life. That's Christ that is living in us. And that power that we have through Christ, that's what we want to be obedient to and walk in, yield to that new life. Another thing is that we are redeemed. Now, the Bible talks about redemption. Redemption. I think that you all, and I've used this illustration before, if you take something to a pawn shop, you can go redeem it later. And so we go and we pay a price and we get it back. Well, the word redemption means that Jesus paid the price for our salvation. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm going to save you, but now you've got to do good things or you're not going to be saved," or "you're going to." It's all by faith. We have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then we have redemption through that blood of Christ. In Romans 3:24, it says, "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Being justified by faith. And to be justified, what does it mean? I'm a justified person in Christ. You're a justified person. If you know Jesus Christ, you're justified. What does that mean? It means that we are set free by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. Justified. Just this one little saying that a pastor that I was under when I was a young kid, he would say, just as if I'd never sinned. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and our sins are washed away. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God for his merciful kindness. Let's look in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and we're going to just check on a few verses here. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 45. We are born again. We have received Christ as our Savior, but we still have an old nature. We still have. That's why that oftentimes the enemy or the old devil will whisper to us something or other. Maybe we get mad about something or we have some problem with another person or whatever. And it's the old devil that whispers to our mind through that old nature that we have. So we're going to read with verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, that's Adam in the Old Testament, back there in the book of Genesis, he was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That word quickening means a life-giving spirit. So we don't just have Adam as our ancestor. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as our life. And when he was hanging there on that cross, he was providing and preparing salvation for us, a quickening, life-giving spirit. Now that we know Jesus, we're alive forevermore, the scripture says. We're alive in the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. So we all have that human body. I was born again when I was very, very young because I was constantly spoken of that in my home and through my father and my mother. But all of us have a point where we're going to come to that point, and I believe everyone here knows Jesus as your Savior, where you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so that which is natural, though, the human side is there. Then afterward, that which is spiritual. And so we have a spiritual new life in Christ. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. Praise the Lord. And so that old nature that we have, it's an earthly thing. Amen. And so when we have the new life of Christ within us, then that is the spiritual side of us, the spiritual side. And the Lord wants that spiritual side to be dominant. He wants the new man. The new man, that's what we're talking about. Let's look in Romans, the 6th chapter. Turn back to Romans. I trust you know where Romans is, the first book of Paul, Apostle Paul. The 6th chapter, we're going to talk about how we have this old man. Even though, and we've already said it this time that I've been speaking here, but the scripture teaches that. So let's look at this 6th verse of chapter 6 of Romans. Paul says, he uses the word knowing. So this is something we are supposed to know. And we certainly find out, don't we? Because we do things that we don't want to do and we do them. Something is there that's making us do it. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that's speaking of Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so this is something that we cannot do in ourselves. You can be born again and receive Christ as your Savior and then decide that, well, from now on, I'm going to do the right things in my life. I'm just going to do it. I've got strength enough, I can do that. And you know what happens? You fail and you can't do it. You can't do it. We cannot overcome and be what the Lord wants us to be by just saying, I'm going to do it. Yes. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Let's go ahead and read verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, the Bible says in another place in Galatians that we have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. So in God's sight, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins were there on the cross when he hung there and bore our sins. And when he rose again from the grave, we are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have a new life in Christ. Even though there are times that we may manifest that old nature because we still have it. Is there anybody here that doesn't think they have the old nature still? We all have the old nature. As we grow in Christ and study the Word of God and hear the Word of God taught, we become more steadfast. We become more yielded and less of the flesh. We still have it. We still can get angry at something. See, because that's what we have. But we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us victory in our lives. He says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, and in that he liveth unto the Lord. And then notice now verse 11, or liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that word reckon, we say, I reckon so. I don't say that, but I know people that do that. And what it means, though, in the Greek is this. We count it to be so. Now, all of us have experienced the times in different times in our life when we lost our temper, when we maybe said something we shouldn't have said or told something we shouldn't have told, all that stuff that is sinful stuff, we've all had that. But Paul says that he counts it to be so, that we need to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'll tell you something, you can't do it by yourself. You can try and try and try and try and say, well, I'm going to love that person. I'm going to forgive that person. I'm not going to say that. And we find ourselves doing it because we're just human beings. We have an old nature. That's what we're talking about. And so, praise the Lord. In verse 12, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Oh, I love that. That's some of my favorite scriptures. The old man was crucified with Christ. In God's reckoning, the old nature that we have was crucified with Christ. Christ paid that penalty already for each of us, all the human race. Even the people out there that don't know Jesus, God has paid the price for them if they will only receive that. When we were born again, we got a new nature. A new nature. That's what he says there, yield yourselves unto God as those that arrive alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We have a new nature, praise the Lord, new creation in Christ Jesus. And then the process begins. Once we receive Christ as our Savior, the process of the Holy Spirit and God working in us begins, doesn't it? And he begins to send and allow trials to come our way. to teach us to trust God, to teach us to lean on the living God for our help. We learn to walk in the Spirit and yield to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. So we have the old man. That's our sinful nature that we have. Sorry, it didn't get washed out. Like, you know, some people say, well, it's gone. No, you'll find that out very soon if you believe that. Okay, but the new man, which is Christ living in us, that righteous nature of Christ in us, how precious that is. This is not a hard message, is it? Not hard to understand. Some of us have been raised on it, cut our teeth on it. But there is a wrestling that goes on between these two. The old man, the old nature, wants to rule. And Satan works through that old self nature. Satan does that. Sorry, he didn't get thrown in the bottomless pit yet. He'll be down there 1,000 years, and he's going to go into the lake of fire for eternity. But that's what Revelation teaches us. But Satan works through this old self or this old man, and Satan tempts us to walk contrary to God and his will. Whatever it is, he's right there. Does he ever bother you? He does not have the power that Christ has. He doesn't have the power that the Holy Spirit has. Remember that. If we feel down about something and something happens and it's hurting us and all that, we just need to just really fall on the Lord. Just say, here I am, Lord. Just help me. And then we have the new man. That's another place that says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us. That's the only way we're going to get to heaven is to have that Christ life in us. And I think everyone here knows Jesus. You know that. That's why you accepted salvation, to let the Lord Jesus come into your life, because you know that's how you're going to get to heaven one of these days. Our loved ones that pass from this life, it's such a joy when we know they are in heaven, right? It's just such a joy to know that. We believe that. We receive Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go to heaven. So this new life of Christ, though, it's Christ in us. And he speaks to us. Some people think that's nuts. Jesus doesn't speak to us. Yes, he does. He speaks to us all the time. We're down and out about something, and first thing you know, there's the Word of God coming to our mind. There's the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us. And he uses his word so much, as I've said, to speak to us, to yield ourselves to God and gain victory in our lives. That verse 11 there says, likewise reckon also yourselves. Notice that. That doesn't mean I pray for you and I ask God to help you and, you know, it's me doing this. No, no. It's you yourself. Yourself, you need to let yourself be yielded to God. Let him work in you. That's where the work is going to happen. Praise the Lord. Yourselves, that is in me. That is you, whoever you are. Dead to sin. The scripture says, be dead to sin. Be dead, there in verse 11. Be dead indeed unto sin. A dead person does not commit sin. That's why that Paul used that scripture there. But we're alive unto God. We have a new life of Christ. Notice in verse 12, don't let sin reign. Don't let sin reign in you. And it certainly will. It'll take over and reign in you. It means to rule you. That's what sin will do. It will do it for me too if I let my guard down and don't trust in God. But as we trust God and we learn to walk with him, he's with us, he's helping us, he's guiding our lives. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members This word that's talking about your body. That's where everything takes place, right? Our brain, our body. We do things sometimes that aren't pleasing to God because we don't fully yield our body. Our body is very, very important to walk. And God can't really manifest himself in our body when we don't let him have our body, you know. And I just wrote down some parts of our body on my notes here. My heart. Now, I know that Jesus isn't dwelling down here in this organ in my heart. I know that the heart means inside of us. He is in us when he comes into our life. My mind. He does live up here. I feel him up here. He tells me things. He lets me know the right ways to go. He does it for you too. We have a battle though, because Satan will use the mind too. How about my hands? Speaks of service. Whatever God wants me to do, the Lord speaks to me and tells me what I should do. Let him do that. It's just such a blessing to know Jesus in that way. It's just, okay, Lord, I hear you. My feet speak of going places where I know God wants me to be there. God wants me to be there. And then how about my whole life? How I live my life, how I have dedicated my life to God. Verse 13 says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourself to God as those that are alive from the dead. Yes, we're alive from the dead. We're born again. And your members, that's talking about your body, as an instrument of righteousness unto God. Showing forth Christ from our life. It's so important. That's why we're here. Praise the Lord. I only have about 3 more pages of notes. I think I tell you that every time. But how do we gain victory in the Lord? I just wrote down a few things. Cry out to God for help, because we have no strength in ourselves. People that try and say, okay, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Now, from now on, this is what I'm going to do. Find out they failed. They failed. Here it is. I didn't do it. I didn't follow what the Lord was telling me. Number 2 thing that I wrote down was give up our will. We have ideas about how God wants us and what he wants us to do. And a lot of times we're wrong. So we need to pray to God and ask him, what is your will, Father? I want to do your will. It's not what we think is right. It's what God wants in our life. Let God be in control of us. The 3rd thing I wrote down, seek his will in our life. Lord Jesus, take complete control of me. Help me to follow you, Lord. Just pray and talk to him. Even Jesus said this, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Praise the Lord. In the Amplified Version, Romans 7:18 says, for I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh, my human nature, and my sinful capacity. For the willingness to do good is present with me, but the doing of good is not. O wretched and miserable man that I am, or woman that I am, who will rescue me and set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. He's the one that delivers us from all the trouble in our lives, everything that might be there that is hard for us to bear. Many of us have been through very hard trials in life. And I'm going to tell you, God is a faithful God. He picks us up and sets us on our feet again when we've got knocked down. He's a faithful, faithful God. I've told other people in the meeting oftentimes, and many of you know the things in my life that I've gone through, but I tell you what, my God has kept me. He has kept me in his hand of protection. He has worked in my life and given me strength, Father, on loved ones that have passed away, all the different ones. The Lord has been here with me, and he is faithful to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? He is faithful to you. Don't let the devil tell you anything different. He's a liar. He will whisper and say, nobody loves you. Yes, I know that there's somebody that loves me. My God, my Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, and all the people of God love me. Praise the Lord. Can you say that? Yes, hallelujah.